I think one of the three jobs that we have is informing budget, right? And I respect everything that the executive team and the city manager, I know that there's been a lot of work that has gone into it. In the end, we make the recommendations. So if we decide, oh, maybe you want to put X amount of dollars into a reserve fund for parks, we would say, we really want to do that. And, you know, come back to us with an idea of how you could get that done. So, again, I know we've been sort of delivered these different budgets, but it's our responsibility to be prioritizing how to actually do it.
May I make one more comment?
You bet.
So, there's a really good example of how that works, and that's with the supplemental tax funds. Once in a while, or a lot of the times, DITAS, she's not here, I don't think, but DITAS will save huge money on a project. So we're able to, say, maintain those funds in that category and fix extra roads that we weren't planning on doing or didn't have budgeted to do. And the same thing goes for a general budget. If Ryan's really good at this, at really nailing down what our actual income is, and if it's there's a surplus available, we can discuss that. He'll let us know. It looks like we're going to be building a surplus. We had better sales than we planned. That's when you could take a look at those funds. But in an operating budget, it's day to day. You got to pay everybody. You got to pay your staff. You got to pay your bills. So, but there are opportunities. But the bigger opportunities are getting the tools in front of you to see what it's going to cost you in the future, and then plan it in detail for that. So like the master plan for the park. That's something we're going to pay for, get it done, probably take 2 years to do, whatever. Then we'll have know a lot more about it. So just that comment to make you feel more comfortable.
Okay. You want to make a motion? I can certainly do that if you like.
Motion?
Let me try and make a shot. I'd, of course, like to receive and file the report and provide any direction. We're not doing that for fiscal years 2026, 27, along with 2027 and 28. And we're going to approve resolution 26XXX reclassifying water quality technician 1 and 2 position to water treatment operator and compliance technology technician, and reclassifying airport operations technician position to an airport operations and maintenance supervisor, and adopting the revised master pay schedule. Okay,
Gregory.
Any discussion? Okay, we'll call for the question, Melissa.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of feedback.
Mayor Hammond?
Aye.
Councilmember Gregory?
Aye.
Councilmember Bausch?
Aye.
Councilmember Beal?
Aye.
Councilmember Strong?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Yeah. We'll recess for 5 minutes.
AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM, Paso Robles, Atascadero, and Templeton.
Tonight's City Council meeting is in recess and will return in just a short time. Thanks for listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL.
Everything about Babe Ruth was bigger than life. He was the greatest player on the greatest team in America's biggest city, at a time when baseball was far and away America's great spectator sport. It was 1947 and Babe Ruth was dying. He stood on the field at Yankee Stadium, the house he built, as Yankee announcer Mel Allen introduced him to the sellout crowd, which had come to pay him tribute.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Bambino, the Sultan of SWAT, Babe Ruth!
And now, as the cheers of those fans rang out one more time, Babe Ruth walked to the microphone, and in a voice turned rasped and husky from disease, he spoke these words of appreciation and farewell.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You know how bad my voice sounds. Well, it feels just as bad. You know this baseball game of ours comes up from the only real game, I think, in the world, baseball. There's been so many lovely things said about me, and I'm glad that I've had the opportunity to thank everybody. Thank you.
A year later, in August of 1948, Babe Ruth died. Presiding over the funeral in New York's St. Patrick's Cathedral was friend and fan Francis Cardinal Spellman, the Archbishop of New York.
Eternal rest grant him, O Lord, and may the divine spirit that inspired Babe Ruth to overcome hardships and win the crucial game of life animate many generations of American youth to learn from the example of his struggles and successes, loyally to play their positions on all American teams. And may his generous-hearted soul, through the mercy of God, the final scoring of his own good deeds, and the prayers of his faithful friends, through the mercy of God, rest in everlasting peace. Amen.
For 2 days before the funeral, Ruth's body lay in an open coffin at the entrance of Yankee Stadium, and hundreds of thousands waited to pay their respects. Even in death, the Babe could draw a crowd.
Tonight's City Council meeting is in recess and will return in just a short time. Thanks for listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL.
Before and after December 7th, 1941, Pearl Harbor, Hawaii has beckoned visitors to an island paradise in the Pacific. But for 2 hours that morning, it was the site of a sneak attack that changed the course of world events. From that moment on, the name Pearl Harbor would be linked forever with those events, and an unforgettable day that will live in infamy. Well before that fateful morning, political tensions had been mounting between the Japanese Empire and the United States. Japan was already engaged in a fierce war with China and had signed an alliance with Germany in 1940. Though technically avowing neutrality, the U.S. was actively aiding England and other European countries that were at war with Germany, while putting an embargo on supplies such as oil to all of Germany's allies, including Japan. By mid-1941, the Japanese government had decided that war with the United States was inevitable. Even while peace negotiations continued, plans were being made to launch a preemptive airstrike against the U.S. naval base at Pearl Harbor, home base of the Pacific Fleet. Sunday, December 7th, dawned across the rest of America much like any other day.
Our reserves are limited.
The nation's radios were tuned to NBC's religious program, National Vespers, or the New York Philharmonic over CBS, or the football playoff between the New York Giants and Brooklyn Dodgers on the Mutual Network. Then came the news that would shock and unite this nation like no other event in our history.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington. The White House announces Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. Stay tuned to WOR for further developments.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special broadcast.
Here's the bulletin. Washington, the president decided today after Japan's attack on Pearl Harbor and Manila to call an extraordinary meeting of the cabinet for 8:30 p.m. tonight and to have congressional leaders of both parties join the conference at 9 p.m. And now we take you to Honolulu.
We have witnessed this morning
the attack on Pearl Harbor left 2,335 Americans dead, over half of whom perished when a bomb dropped from a Japanese fighter plane detonated the ammunition supplies on the battleship USS Arizona. There were more than 1,000 wounded, and dozens of U.S. ships were destroyed or seriously damaged. But if Japan had hoped to obliterate U.S. opposition by its attack, The results were just the opposite. Shocked and angered, the country united behind President Roosevelt's decision to declare war on Japan.
No matter how long it may take us to overcome this premeditated invasion, the American people in their righteous might will win through to absolute victory.
The day that will live in infamy became only the first of many, as the United States entered the most devastating global conflict in modern history.
Tonight's City Council meeting is in recess and will return in just a short time. Thanks for listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL.
Welcome to Heroes of the Air, true stories of those who flew for America and earned the nation's supreme military award, the Congressional Medal of Honor. Heroes of the Air is brought to you by the Air Force Association, an independent nonprofit aerospace organization which promotes public understanding of the role aerospace power plays in our national defense. Your host for Heroes of the Air is Gene Pell.
Names such as Heartbreak Ridge, the Punch Bowl, Triangle Hill, and Iron Horse Mountain had become all too familiar to the 8th U.S. Army that fall. While troops slugged it out with Chinese forces below, Air Force Major Charles J. Loring, Jr. was leading a flight of four F-80 type aircraft on a close support mission near Sniper Ridge, North Korea, November 22, 1952. Major Loring rolled into his
AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM, Paso Robles, Atascadero, and Templeton. Tonight's City Council meeting is in recess and will resume in just a moment. You're listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, Paso Robles, Atascadero, and Templeton.
Thank you.
Tonight's city council meeting is in recess and will resume in just a short time. You're listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230 KPRL.
Now at this point. And next item here is review of the process to authorize adult use non-storefront retail cannabis. And Katie Bannister, are you going to have that item for us?
Yeah, real quick, Mr. Mayor, just a little introduction on this item as Katie gets ready. This is a study session. We're not making any formal decisions on this. You'll recall that last year you referred back to staff and the Planning Commission to look at updating our ordinance in regards to adult use recreational cannabis delivery office services. So we brought this through the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission had some questions and recommendations. We realized at a staff level that we weren't ready actually to bring a formal item before the council. So we decided instead to come with a study session, get some formal direction so we can basically fine tune the ordinance coming out of the Planning Commission. So Katie's gonna walk you through kind of what those questions are that we need clarity on before we move forward with the ordinance update.
Yeah, welcome Katie.
Thank you, Mayor Hammond and Council. So as Warren mentioned, this is a study session. No formal decisions to be made this evening. So quickly, just to look at some cannabis definitions to make sure we're all on the same
Katie,
page.
Katie, can we get a volume? I can hardly hear.
Maybe get in the microphone.
Something.
Closer to the microphone. It's better than volume.
We've been getting a lot of feedback tonight, too, Melissa, so I'm not sure if you got everything.
I adjusted some things down, trying to eliminate some feedback, but that maybe looks.
Okay. Has that any better?
Yeah. Good, Katie. Thank you.
Okay. So just a few definitions regarding cannabis, just to make sure we're all on the same page this evening as we discuss this item. Medicinal cannabis is cannabis that requires a physician's recommendation in compliance with some state laws. It's also referred to as medical marijuana. Adult use cannabis, which is the topic of this evening, is also referred to as commercial cannabis or recreational cannabis. So I attempt to always use adult use cannabis, but I definitely slip into using recreational or commercial. And so those all have the same meaning. And then finally, a non-storefront retail or a non-storefront retailer has the same meaning as a cannabis delivery office or a delivery business. So this is not a storefront. This is not a dispensary. We're talking about an office where someone who delivers cannabis, stores their product, stores their vehicles, it's an office. So the state of California and Paso Robles has a long history of making rules around cannabis. In 1996, the California Compassionate Use Act, Prop 215, was adopted, and that's when cannabis in some form, that was for medical cannabis, became legal in California. Fast forward to 2022, the council provided direction to temporarily allow adult use cannabis delivery offices. That occurred for a year until 2023 when the temporary allowance did expire. And due to some just changes in the city, the cannabis item was laid to rest for a short time, but back in 2025, council directed staff to bring an ordinance to permanently allow adult use cannabis delivery offices. I brought an ordinance to the Planning Commission for their recommendation to make amendments to the zoning ordinance to allow commercial cannabis delivery offices. And as Warren said, in preparation for bringing that ordinance to you, we discovered that there were some additional concerns that should be addressed before you make decisions. And as we've reiterated a few times, this conversation is not about dispensaries. If the council wants to discuss those in the future, that will be a separate discussion. So in Paso Robles, in 2022, you adopted a map where, so this map is actually what it would be proposed in the in the zoning ordinance that Planning Commission did look at. So delivery offices, the medicinal delivery offices are currently allowed in the Riverside Corridor and the C3 zoning districts. Those are the pink areas on the map. There are some sensitive sites that are already in the ordinance, schools primarily, youth centers. A buffer of 600 feet around those is already required for delivery offices. The draft amendment would also add a buffer around city parks. And so what you see here, the green sites are the parks, the schools, et cetera, 600-foot buffer around. So the areas that are pink, that are outside the buffer, or outside those buffers, are where a cannabis delivery office could be established. So let's look in at those zoning districts and the businesses that exist already. So the purple area is the Riverside Corridor zoning district. The pink area is the C3 zoning district. We've got two buildings that have conditional use permits to allow medicinal cannabis delivery offices. Those are both located on Black Oak Drive. Zooming in, 1124 Black Oak is where Dubs Green Garden holds a conditional use permit. They have allowance to have up to three tenants that are each a separate delivery office. In addition, Kinfolk Holistics at 2805 has a conditional use permit for one tenant space to also deliver cannabis, medicinal cannabis at this time. In 2022, I've already alluded to, Council took some action. The first was to adopt the ordinance that temporarily allowed commercial cannabis. You also adopted a resolution that limited the number of commercial cannabis delivery businesses to three, and then you went on to name those three businesses. Those were Dubs Green Garden, Aquamarine Green, and Kinfolk Holistics. Those existing businesses, two of them are located at 1124 Black Oak Drive. They operate under conditional use permit 1906. Dubs Green Garden is in operation. They are up to date on remitting their cannabis taxes. Those were remitted to the city before the due date on 3/31/26. They're due quarterly, so those aren't due for another few months for that business. Aquamarine Green has, as far as we are aware, is no longer operating in the city. They should not be operating in the city. The owner passed away. They no longer have a lease at 1124 Black Oak Drive, and they last remitted taxes back in the fall. They did, on March 31st, report to the city that they did not make any sales of cannabis, so they are up to date, but they are not operating in the city. There is a vacant tenant space within the 1124 Black Oak building. As far as I'm aware, no tenant has ever been located in that tenant space. Looking now to the fourth potential location for a cannabis business, Kinfolk Holistics. This was a separate conditional use permit approved in 2021 by the Planning Commission. This business started out as some local folks who wanted to operate a cannabis delivery business. They have since sold that business to Pacifica Companies. Corporation appears to be located in Sacramento. They last remitted cannabis taxes in 2023, and the last time they reported it all to the city was in March of last year. They did not make any sales at that time. So they are in arrears just reporting to the city. They're a year in arrears. They have not renewed their business license for this coming fiscal year. They do have a building permit that was issued to them but was never finaled. So neither can Kinfolk Holistics nor Aquamarine Green, two of the three businesses that were named in the 2022 resolution, are in operation today. So the Planning Commission did look at an amendment to the zoning ordinance that would allow adult use cannabis delivery offices. They made a recommendation to approve the zoning amendment that was brought to them, and they also made a recommendation to allow more than three commercial cannabis delivery offices. The zoning amendment was drafted to continue to limit the number of delivery offices to three, and the Planning Commission did not indicate how many should be allowed, but they thought it should be more than three. Looking around the county, this is a look at the cannabis delivery office regulations by jurisdiction. What we have discovered is that there is not a huge demand for these delivery offices. In particular, I would look at Atascadero, our closest city neighbor. They have allowed commercial cannabis delivery offices, I believe since 2021. They have no cap on the number of licenses that are allowed, and they have issued zero conditional use permits for delivery offices. Similarly, in I think it's Morro Bay, they also have no cap, and no businesses have applied to establish a delivery business there. Throughout Coso County, there are seven delivery offices that are located in different areas. Two of them are in inland North County, kind of in the Templeton area. So something for the commission, the city council to keep in mind is that the city has no control of legal deliveries that originate from outside the city. The state of California has made the delivery of recreational adult use medicinal cannabis legal throughout the state. So if a business is legally located outside the city of Paso Robles, if they're in Templeton, if they're in Morro Bay, if they're in San Luis Obispo, they can drive into the city and make deliveries of cannabis. We can require that those businesses have a business license, but other than that, we cannot prevent the deliveries from entering the city. Statewide, deliveries account for about 25% of sales. That comes from a website, flowhub.com. So it is a relatively minor part of the cannabis ecosystem. About 75% of sales are coming from actual dispensaries. In the city of Paso Robles, there are 11 business licenses for cannabis deliveries. Really, there are four licenses that are active, one of which is located in the city. That's the Dubs business. There are three outside vendors that are regularly coming into the city and making sales and reporting sales tax and remitting those taxes. So a quick look at cannabis tax payments that the city has received since 2020. Obviously, they have increased over time. The 25 to 26 fiscal year, we haven't completed that year yet, so we don't see, it looks like a decrease, but that year is not completed yet. Overall, the city has taken in over $240,000 in taxes and penalties for cannabis businesses. So one of the questions that we'll have for you this evening is about a cannabis regulatory permit. Currently, for a business to locate in Paso Robles, they would need to apply for a conditional use permit, which can be approved by the Planning Commission. That is a land use entitlement. It really looks at zoning compatibility, traffic, noise, how attractive is the building, do they have the right landscaping. It is site specific. It runs with the land and not the operator. As we've seen, Kinfolk has changed, the ownership has changed, but the city was not, other than on the business license, the city was not notified. It did not affect their conditional use permit. The city had no control over that operator who was located in the city. A conditional use permit is a one-time approval, and it is time-consuming to revoke. So we've identified that it really does, we do have a gap in oversight of cannabis businesses in Paso Robles. Just the conditional use permit is not sufficient in staff's opinion. So staff is proposing a cannabis regulatory permit. This is a type of permit that is used around the county, around the state, to set operational standards such as a security plan, background checks, record keeping limitations. A cannabis regulatory permit would be specific to an operator, so any new operator taking over an existing conditional use permit would have to go through the background checks, and we would have an annual review so we could continue to have ongoing monitoring and regulatory oversight. Revocation of such a permit would be much simpler than that for a conditional use permit, and so it would give the city more agility to regulate cannabis businesses. It would require an amendment to Title V, which is the permits and regulations title. So there really are four questions. They were outlined in the staff report to you this evening. The first is regarding that resolution 22-144. It is the resolution that did name three businesses specifically of who should be allowed to deliver adult use cannabis. Staff's recommendation is to repeal that resolution. As we know, two of the three operators named are no longer in operation, so it's not logical to name them and hold these spaces for those particular businesses. Number two is related to the delivery office numerical cap. In the past, the council has set a cap of 3. The Planning Commission has recommended that it be more than 3. Staff is actually recommending we don't have a limit at all. In cities with no cap, that we don't see an over-concentration, having a cap has put an unnecessary force on the market that it has created a false competition, a sense of entitlement to those permits. It also creates the appearance of a vested right to a future dispensary. It is easier for both our business licensing and our police department to track cannabis sales when they originate and are delivered in Paso Robles. So it gives us more oversight over the businesses if they're actually located here. And we are just talking about offices, not a dispensary. Third, we are asking for guidance on whether or not you would like to see a cannabis regulatory permit. That would require, as I said, an amendment to Title V. We would recommend that the zoning amendment and the Title V amendments are adopted concurrently. So we're looking for direction there. And finally, we do have existing conditional use permit holders that are limited to medicinal deliveries only. There is nothing in those conditional use permits that would require the new regulatory permit. So staff is recommending that any existing medicinal cannabis delivery business that would like to also deliver adult use cannabis should be required to return to the Planning Commission and amend their conditional use permit so we can fine tune their conditions and make sure we have all the regulations in place. There are 4 decision points for this evening, and we can come to this again, but I think that the slide before summarizes and may be the best place to rest while we have a conversation.
Thank you very much. Ms. Bannister, questions?
Lots of them.
Councilman Bell. Straw.
Oh. It's okay, Dan.
Yeah, Pro Tem Gregory. Jeez. I was looking at an empty chair there. Sorry.
Okay. I'm asking questions for clarity. So one of the recommendations is to repeal the resolution so that it takes away the currently named business, except for what about the one existing one? What happens to them?
So the one existing business would need to apply to amend their conditional use permit. We would fine-tune their conditions of approval. They would also concurrently need to apply for a cannabis regulatory permit, assuming that you take all of staff's recommendations. So there would be some additional permits and amendments that they would need to apply for, but they would be eligible to apply for those permits.
Okay. So another thing you're looking for is what to do about the cap, correct?
We discuss that.
And I won't ask any questions about that right now. As far as allows for ongoing monitoring, regular oversight, that is something that's in place right now in Chapter 21.6, Title 5.
No.
We need to create that.
Correct. There is nothing in Title 5 that addresses this cannabis regulatory permit.
And then the additional item is for the conditional use permit to existing medical cannabis non-storefront retailers to be required to amend their CUP. Okay, so I think I understand all those items. Thank you.
Councilman Bausch.
Okay, thank you very much. Great presentation. Regarding item 3, cannabis regulatory permit, can we require a regulatory permit for vendors outside of the city limits?
So I think that would be hard to administer. These are businesses that have established in another jurisdiction where they've gone through whatever process that local jurisdiction has. So staff's recommendation is that this regulatory permit would be just for businesses that are actually located within our city limits.
So how do we do that? And this might be completely off the wall, but how do we do that for like food trucks? That was a big issue when we talked about food trucks. Food trucks that would come over and just be here for the weekend and then go back home to Bakersfield, and that was a big complaint. So will we have a complaint from non-storefront delivery businesses that go through this process, but then they're usurped by people that come over from Salinas and not have a cannabis regulatory permit? Is that going to be an issue?
I would assume that businesses that are, the closer you are, the more likely you are to service the the area that you are looking at. But yes, there will be competition in the market.
So will we allow the established, I'll say established vendors for lack of a better term, will we allow them to have a complaint process?
So I suppose someone could make a complaint, but I don't know that we would respond unless we discovered that there was somebody delivering cannabis that was not authorized by the state or some other jurisdiction to make deliveries.
So that would go back to the Cannabis Control Board?
I think that is accurate.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Chris, no. Anything?
I've got one more question, sir.
Okay.
So Mr. Bausch asked a really interesting question there. So. And Warren or Katie, I don't know, maybe either one, you can answer this question. Is there any successful effort in controlling outside vendors not paying their taxes to the city?
Mayor Pro Tem, I can jump in, and Mr. Cornell can supplement if needed. That was an issue that came up the last time we talked about this.
Yeah.
One of the things that we did is, as you recall, we entered into an agreement with HDL companies to help navigate some of the research and some of the work around this topic. Since that time, they have worked with the Administrative Services Department to identify those that we believe are delivering from outside the city into the city, to essentially put them on notice that they need to comply with our regulations, which for them would be a business license and or emit their cannabis tax payments. We don't have necessarily a dedicated staff member that is working on this 24/7, but we have certainly, I think, we have certainly enhanced our level of communication with these companies and their awareness that they need to be doing it. Now, again, it can be a little bit of a whack-a-mole in some cases, but we have gone through that process. And Ryan, I don't know if you have, I don't mean want you to walk up here. Okay, he says I've covered what I needed to cover, but I did want to recognize that since the last time we talked, we have upped our effort to try to ensure compliance for those that are delivering inside the city.
So maybe Elizabeth, you can answer this question for me. So contractors from out of our city come in to work here, and we require a business license for them. So is that something we could do for the delivery companies as well?
We already do.
Oh, we already do. So if they want to deliver.
Mr. Hewitt was saying is we have been trying through HDL to track and determine who's delivering in our city without a business license and have contacted them, shall we say, and are trying to get them to be compliant and pay their taxes.
Okay, thank you.
Afterwards, in other words, what happens once we find someone who's not compliant? Yeah, this is important. This is a big one for me personally. So
I'll have Ryan come up and talk about that.
Thanks, Ryan.
While he's making his way up, may I ask, is it legal to maybe offer a bounty to? for people to report somebody a scofflaw?
Complaint basis, yeah.
What I would say though, to that point, there are websites, and I think Katie referenced one. There are other, weedmaps.com and other resources where these companies are making their information, or people are making their information available on those websites. And so I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole, but that's some of the ways we're able to identify those that are delivering. So, yes.
Mr. Mayor, Ryan Cornell, Administrative Services Director. So whenever any sort of business that gets delinquent on taxes, we try to work with them to get them updated, obviously. That does look at going back to making sure when the business was established. And in certain circumstances, yes, we will make them pay back taxes as well as penalties on top of that.
Unlike, contractors who just built into a business license mode, these actually business license plus taxation. See, so there's much more here than just a typical contractor coming into town. And, frankly, if we don't make others do it, then why should we make our own do it? You follow? In other words, it's fair competition. And that's why I'm wondering how much labor is going to cost from your department to actually monitor this. We talked about this actually with STRs many years ago, same thing.
There was a slide that was on earlier, and I think we had about 11 delivery businesses that we've identified.
Yeah.
And we, when we cross-referenced, there's only two of them didn't actually, weren't up to date or didn't have a business license. And so we did, again, like Mr. Hugot mentioned, we did send out a put on notice letter, I guess, as you want to put it, to get them in compliance and updated.
So there aren't that many to actually monitor, right?
That's, yeah.
Right, and it's probably on a, the basis is, you know, trust what we're telling you type of thing.
It would be very similar to transient occupancy tax, yes.
Exactly, right. Okay, all right, thanks, Ryan. Okay, any other questions from council, real quick?
No.
Let's open it up then to the public. Anyone wishing to make a comment on this item, please come forward.
Hi, Linda George, 3126 Spring Street. I promised my bodyguard today that I wouldn't belabor this meeting. I just came up here to say one simple thing. This is a wonderful piece of work. I went back from the beginning and all your records and everything, and this is a really great solution to the beginning. I know people want storefront. I don't see that happening for 5 or 6, maybe 10 years here myself, but I am 100% behind all the thoughts that they have on this, because it's really important to have the competition. And don't forget that Jimmy Panetta is trying to get the money for cannabis control enforcement. So maybe that will be the answer to some of your enforcement questions. And then I'm always a person that likes to have enforcement in our policies and then an appeal. So because as government workers, we can always be wrong the first time. So I came and stayed all night long and left my little chihuahua shivering all night to say, really wonderful job, staff.
Thank you, welcome.
Hello, good evening, council members and staff. My name is Megan Souza, and I own and operate Megan's Organic Market. And we currently provide cannabis delivery within the city of Paso Robles from our San Luis Obispo location. And we are working toward establishing a Paso Robles delivery hub to better serve North County with faster and more efficient service. We've signed a lease for one of the spaces at the Halls building at 1124 Black Oak Drive, and we are eager to become operational as soon as the city will allow us to. We've been working toward this for quite some time. I generally support all of the staff's recommendations, but would respectfully ask the council to add one additional direction. Please place a clear timeline on this process and direct staff to return within 30 days, prepared for a first reading of the updated ordinance. Thank you so much for your time and consideration of this item tonight. And also, I look forward to a future discussion of storefront dispensaries. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone online?
Yes, first up is Jan Albin.
Okay. Jan, you're online. Can you hear us? Go ahead.
I can. Thank you. Jan Alvin, I'm a resident of Quail Run here in Paso Robles. There's a number of deliveries here in Quail Run in particular, because we have a senior community. So having access to cannabis is very important to a lot of our residents. But I need to remind council that the delivery process, the process of delivery, is a much more expensive proposition than having a storefront. I hear Megan is there tonight, and I'm a frequent visitor to her store. And I can tell you, having been witness to deliveries, her store is much less expensive than it is to deliver here, because they get a delivery fee and the product is more expensive. So you really don't have a need, quite honestly, to monitor the deliveries, because it's not going to be possible anyway. And my comment would just be that at some point or another, we know we're going to have a dispensary. I look forward to having a dispensary. I think it's be far less problems than trying to monitor the possibly hundreds of delivery services that will be coming up to this town. So that's my comment, and I will be forever a proponent of storefront purchases of cannabis. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Next is Grace Hall.
Okay, Grace, you're online. Go ahead.
Good evening, Council. My name is Grace Hall. I'm the owner of Dove's Green Garden, and I'm also the owner of 1124 Black Oak Drive, where we also operate out of. I just want to say, first of all, to the Planning Commission, I agree with all their recommendations. I think they're well thought out, and I appreciate the time and effort that was put into them. I have a question, though, on D. I was wondering if there's any way that that could possibly be a more faster process. I've had to amend my conditional use permit in the past, and I know it can be time-consuming, so I'm familiar with the process, but I would just like to know if maybe there could be an overlay or something else could happen, because we have signed a lease with Megan's Market, and we are excited to get her in here and get her operating, and so I just wouldn't want that to hold her up in any type of way. The other thing I wanted to say, I just want the council to understand that we've been patient for many, many years, and every time cannabis gets brought up, the votes are always there, but there's no action. We have to wait months and even years. We've watched the council members change many times since 2014 when we first brought up the cannabis delivery issue. Just understand how financially detrimental this has been to our business. Every year that goes by, we pay thousands just to renew our state license with California. While we wait for the action from the council, our cannabis products expire. We have to destroy them because we can no longer sell them. So with that being said, I ask if the council can please put a time frame on when staff must return with an ordinance. Could it be like 30 days? Could you do an emergency ordinance? Because it's just like time is of the essence. And I just, if you can just please understand that back in 2014, I know some of you folks that are on the council remember us back then. And we fought so hard to even get cannabis to where it's at today. We were the first persons to hold a cannabis license in Paso and in the whole county. And we're the last person still here operating in Paso. So just please take that in consideration when you change the ordinances and do what you're going to do. But other than that, I appreciate the council's time and the Planning Commission on this topic, because I know there's many other things that are could be possibly considered more important than this, but this is our livelihood, this is our business, so just please take that in consideration, and thank everybody for their time.
Thank you. Anyone else want to say?
Thank you.
No, sir.
Okay, I'll bring it back to the council for discussion and or action. Looks like we have four different items that staff wants us to make decisions on. And
so we'd like to start.
I will.
Go, Tim Gregory.
Well, there's actually five. The fifth one would be a time frame on the applications. And both Grace and the young lady in the audience mentioned that. So I think it's really important once we make a decision that we try to put a time frame on it once they've received, the staff receives a complete application, as they say, and let those people give them the time. A notice of time so they can depend on what they're doing. So I don't know. Do you want to go through each of these items and discuss them, or you just want?
Well, right. It's going to have to be separate discussion, I think, on A through D, and then if you want to add the time frame, that's another thing we can talk about.
So. I think the most controversial one is number two, and I'm in favor of no cap. And the reason why is they're all going out of business. There's one here still operating. We have another one wanting to come in, and I don't think it does any good to cap them.
So. Okay. All right. Discussion?
What do you think, Chris?
Well, that's what I would say. On any of the four, let's do that, and then we'll go ahead. And I think what we should do is take motion recommendation on every one of these lines, A through B.
I have no problem with that.
Okay.
I have a quick question on number three, so.
Sure, why don't we go ahead and hit that then? Go.
Are we, when we're doing the regulatory permit, which I'm in favor of, are we doing any kind of a background check on that? What's our process for that? Does that go beyond a regular?
So we have a draft regulatory permit ordinance that the city attorney's prepared. It's based on, you know, other models and best practices, and they all include background checks for all employees. So if you pass that, that would be a requirement.
Okay, so if there was a felony, for example, that would be exposed, and would that be grounds for denial?
Jill, are you online? Jill's the cannabis lawyer with BB&K, who drafted your regulatory permit.
Hi, yes, this is Jill Tremblay with Best West and Krieger. Good evening, Mayor and City Council members. Yes, there are certain criminal history that are grounds for denial or revocation under the state law for the state licenses. And so cities tend to look at those for their regulatory permits, and the statute identifies, the Business and Professions Code says that a conviction of an offense substantially related to the qualifications, functions, or duties of the cannabis business is grounds for license denial or revocation. The statute identifies the following as substantially related, and that would include violent felony convictions, serious felony convictions, felony convictions involving fraud, deceit, or embezzlement, felony conviction for hiring, employing, or using a minor in connection with controlled substance sales, or felony conviction for drug trafficking with enhancements. It's what would not be included would be drug possession.
Interesting. Okay, so there is a background check. That answers my question. Thank you.
So may I ask another question on the warrant on the cannabis regulatory permit? That also allows to have the police department have an annual visit with each of the businesses to verify it's operated correctly.
Joe can clarify, but it would be unlimited inspections, so it's not annual. They can come show up as often as they want.
Okay.
Yes, that's correct. For the Department of Cannabis Control, under the California state regulations, can conduct administrative compliance inspections. That would include review of delivery receipts, inventory records, surveillance footage, tax records, all of that. And that same administrative compliance inspection could be the local jurisdictions can give that authority to the local law enforcement as well, but that's only for administrative compliance inspections.
Okay. Councilmember Beal.
I'm in favor of all of these points. So Warren, did you say that you have like a draft of something that's close? If we're talking about a time frame for moving this forward.
We have it in draft form. It still needs to be, you know, vetted, and we're waiting for final directions before we get to a final version, but we're probably 90% there on that ordinance.
Right, because I agree with the others to have a timeline at this point. I think it would be good just to keep going and everybody can check it off, and the business owners can have some stability and some predictability in terms of what's going on in their lives.
And Warren, may I ask that question also kind of in a different way as far as the timeline? So that's when somebody, once we have that document, someone applies for a permit, they have a timeline on that permit to be processed.
So you're talking about ordinances, so we'll have to bring two ordinances back to you. One will be the regulatory permit, one will be the zoning ordinance amendment. So it'll take, you know, we have to get the regulatory permit ordinance ready. So once that's ready, we'll bring that back for first reading. Then you have second reading, basically next agenda, and then 30 days after that, it will become effective. So it's like 45 days after the first reading, the ordinance will become effective. Once it's effective, then if the direction is to amend the CUPs, then we could actually amend the CUPs. So we could use that 45-day period to work with the applicants to get their CUPs ready for Planning Commission.
Okay.
We could basically concurrently line things up to move them fairly efficiently through the process.
Okay. So that sounds like a good timeline to me.
So essentially, Warren, are you thinking, again, 60 to 90 days to have everything based on calendar of the requirements that we're doing, of course?
Yeah.
There's other priorities that they're working on, too. So I think if...
Technical question?
Sure, go ahead.
So in the case of, like, Megan's, wherever she's going to rent, is that going to be part of the process? We have to allow just a zoning check of where the building is to make sure it's in compliance?
So once resolution 22-144 is repealed, she could deliver medical marijuana, but
right.
They actually want to deliver adult, and
right.
They're not going to be able to do that until we do all four steps, and that's going to likely take 90 days to get all of those done.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Thank you.
So before us, we have to give staff recommendations here and direction what we want to do. So let's just take, you know, the four of them here, plus we got direction on the time frame, I think, at this point. So the first one that we need to basically talk about is a resolution repealing 22-144, and thereby removing the current limitation on the number of permitted adult-use cannabis non-storefront retailers and eliminating the designation of a specifically named operator. So the choices we have here is to keep the resolution, repeal the resolution, or amend the resolution. So do we have a...
Repeal, right, Warren?
Yeah, I think everybody...
Staff's recommending repeal.
Okay.
Like a straw vote here. Everybody in favor of a repeal for this?
Aye.
So you have a 4-0 on that one, Warren.
Okay.
Next one we have is amendments to Chapter 21.6 of the Municipal Code to remove the existing cap on the number of permitted non-storefront cannabis businesses within the city. And the choices there are no cap, 3 max, which we have currently, or other number.
I have a question.
Yeah.
I should have asked this for A or 1. This is for non-storefront. This might be a completely different conversation should we ever get to storefront, if we ever get to storefront.
Right.
That's correct.
Correct?
Yes, sir.
So this is just
definitely
non-storefront.
Deliverable. Yeah.
Only. Delivery.
Yeah.
Adult cannabis. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So cap on delivery offices, no cap?
No cap.
Remove the cap.
No cap? No cap? Okay. That's... a majority, no cap, that's essentially what the other cities have been doing. So, yeah, and that. The third one here is amendments.